Maybe if you know it by heart, you can recite it. But I'd like to read this chapter together, or recite this chapter together this morning, and just gain some inspiration from it. I'm reading through this book in my personal reading right now, so I just want to share a couple thoughts from this passage. Why don't we stand for a change of position, and let's say this 23rd Psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You can be seated. We've read this many, many times, and we've recited it many, many times. It's easily one of the most recited passages of Scripture in the Bible, probably. And as I read this chapter in my personal reading this week, the first verse just stood out to me in a new way. And that first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That just caught my attention. It's a very simple verse, very simple message. But yet it tells us a lot about David's perspective in life. It's a perspective that I strive for daily, and I've not attained it. Still working at it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you want this week, or did I want this week? I found myself over the past few weeks saying, I just want to get back to normal life. I'm tired of this. Or I don't want to wear a mask anymore. Or I just want to be able to go into Sheets and get myself a cup of coffee. I want. I felt that coming out of my life more than I want to admit in the past few weeks. I feel like I deserve more than this in my life. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And as we read this portion of Scripture, we get this picture of serenity and peace. And it's been a blessing to many people for thousands of years to bring a calm and a comfort as these words were read to them, or they recited them. What gave David this perspective that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? That's what we want to look at here this morning. And I think, first of all, David recognized God as his shepherd. God as his leader. The Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent, the eternal one, the God of eternity past, the God that spoke this world that we see, this universe, into existence, the power of that. And we see it throughout the book of Psalms, where many times David highlights God and who he is. Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. Very familiar verses. "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Turn to Psalm 139. This chapter tells us a lot about David's perspective of God, the one he was calling his shepherd. I think I was planning on reading the chapter, so I'll just go ahead and read it quickly. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand, which when I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they seek against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This was David's perspective of God, the one he was calling his shepherd here in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. David had a relationship with God. He was understood that God knew everything about him. There was nothing that he was going to hide from God. God could see it all. And David said, this God is my shepherd. And David knew a lot more about shepherding than you and I do, because he was a shepherd. He knew what a shepherd did for his sheep. He knew how a shepherd cared for his sheep. He knew all the work that went into being a shepherd. A shepherd is one that tends a flock, takes care of the little sheep, leads the sheep to find pasture, leads them to water, protects them, drives away predators, nurses the sick, disciplines the unruly, and finds the lost. David knew what a shepherd did, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Being a shepherd was one of the lowest jobs that there was. It was often given to the youngest of the family. An example of that would be David. He was out there tending the sheep when Samuel came to anoint the next king. He was just a little one out there doing that work that no one else wanted to do. No one wanted to be away from home, away from family, away from comforts, taking care of sheep, risking their life for the sheep. No one wanted to do that. But David was that shepherd, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my defender. David knew that a shepherd provides for his sheep. A good shepherd will find the best grass and the clearest water for his sheep. David knew that the shepherd would lay down his life for the protection of his sheep. David had done this when he risked his life defending the sheep from that bear and the lion. He confronted them and killed them so it wouldn't hurt his sheep. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus even calls himself a shepherd in John 10, verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. That's what our shepherd did for us. When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I believe he was saying, God is my provider. God is my protector. God is my safety. God is my leader. The second thing I think that gave David perspective when he wrote these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is David was recognizing the fact that he was a sheep. He realized that he needed a shepherd. He realized that he needed a leader. Sometimes as children we imagine what kind of animal we would want to be if we were an animal. And I don't know of anyone that has said they would like to be a sheep. Sheep are not a very highly esteemed animal. Everyone dreams of being a big, strong horse that gallops and conquers, or a lion. But we don't want to be a sheep. A sheep is a needy animal. It relies heavily on its shepherd to provide for it and to care for it. Sheep cannot fend for themselves. They need a shepherd. They need a group to survive. Sheep need to be led. They are animals that follow. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and what that means is that I am his sheep. Then David goes on to say, I shall not want. And shall is a very authoritative word here. It doesn't leave much wiggle room. It's very commanding. David is making a strong statement here. He says, I shall not want. And want means to lack or to fail, to lessen, to be abated, to decrease, to make lower, or to need something. David said, I'm not going to need anything. I'm not going to want anything because the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. David is saying here that, God, you're my shepherd. I am the sheep. You are leading, and I am following. See, a total surrender of David's life. David used possessive pronouns here. I think I'm saying that right. When he says, I and my. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's making this very personal to himself. And this morning, we want to make it personal to ourselves. How can we make this serenity that David had a reality in my life? The first one I'd like to notice is trusting the shepherd. I want to come back through these. So I'm going to write them up here on the board, keep myself straight. Number one, trust the shepherd. Trust the shepherd. As humans, we like to worry, don't we? We want to know what's coming next. And sheep are a prey species. Their only line of defense is to flee. And I read that sheep will not lie down until they feel secure or they feel at rest. They feel that danger is close or they're anxious about their needs, food and water. They will not lie down until their needs are met. They will not lie down and rest. And David says here in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down. David knew a lot about sheep. He knew their needs and wants, and he knew what made them comfortable. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He meets my needs. David was trusting that shepherd. He felt safe with his shepherd. We don't want to rest until we know the answer to all of our problems, the solution to all of our problems. But we can rest, like David did here in Psalms 23, when we trust the shepherd. And it isn't so difficult to trust when we're eating green grass and drinking cool water, and the sun is shining bright and it's a beautiful day. But I think we've experienced enough of life to know that it's not always that way. We experience hard things. And down here in verse 4, David talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a difficult place to be. But even in those times, we trust the shepherd. Because that's what brings peace. We don't understand why the shepherd does some things that he does or leads us in places that where he takes us. But we trust the shepherd that he has our best in mind and he is looking out for our good. David kept coming back to that throughout his life. Psalms 18 verse 2, he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I can lie down in green pastures when I trust the shepherd. When I trust the shepherd, I can have peace and rest. Number two I see from this chapter is following the shepherd. Following the shepherd is where we can find rest. In verse 1, he says, verse 2, he leads me beside still waters. In verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. You cannot lead someone or something that doesn't want to follow. And we're created with this free will. And since the fall back there in Genesis 3, we're just bent to want to go our own way, aren't we? Do what we want to do. We like the grass over there better. Or the water over here is easier to get to, we think. We say, why do we need to go this way? Or wouldn't this path be easier? Or wouldn't this way be shorter? But to experience the peace and rest described here in Psalms 23, we need to follow the shepherd and not question where he is leading us and think that our way would be so much better or nicer. Let's trust the shepherd and put that into action by following his way and his plan for our lives. Third one I'd like to notice from this chapter is he restoreth my soul. That's in verse 3. What soul is restored? I always thought this word meant refresh, and I suppose it could be used that way. But the Hebrew word here is, probably not going to say this right, but shwub. And that word is translated a number of different ways, but the word return is used in Genesis 3:19. It says like this, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, thou shalt return unto the ground. And the word there is shwub, translated return. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and from dust thou shalt return. In Genesis 8, verse 9, it's translated as the word returned. But the dove, this is when Noah sent the dove out. It says, but the dove returned no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto the ark. Think about this dove going out, looking for dry land, and then coming back in. That's what this word restored means. It means returning. I really like this thought of coming back to a location, having our soul anchored in God, anchored in our shepherd. When we face the difficult things of life, we're faced with something like a global pandemic, or maybe it's a limping economy that's affecting our incomes, or we're questioning practices of government leaders. Do we panic and run in fear, or do we rest because our souls are anchored in our shepherd? Is our soul restored? Let's read Psalm 46, the first 7 verses. Psalm 46, David talks about God being our refuge. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. We see people around us responding in many different ways to this pandemic we're in right now. Suicide rates are up. Substance abuse. Hoarding food and other necessities because there's so much fear. Our souls are anchored in our shepherd. We come back to that and we find rest. I believe this was key in David's experience in writing this chapter for us. He had his soul anchored in God. God was his refuge. The fourth one I'd like to look at in this passage is contentment. We've all seen cows leaning through a fence trying to get the grass on the other side, right? Contentment makes what we have enough. David said here in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Was everything going perfectly for David? Did he have everything that he needed? No, I don't believe so. But I believe he was content with what he had. What the shepherd was providing for him, he was content with. David was a man of war, a man of conflict, so much so that God did not allow him to build the temple. It was his son Solomon's work. We saw that in our Sunday school this morning. But David said, I have everything I need. I am provided for. I shall not want. When we're content with what we have, and we're content with the path the shepherd has asked us to walk, that's where we find the peace that is portrayed here in this psalm. And closely connected with contentment is gratitude. We also see this in verse 5. My cup runneth over. That's the fifth thing I'd like to look at this morning. My cup runneth over. Gratitude. Are we grateful this morning? How do our cups look? Are they half full? Or are they half empty? Or are they running over? Gratitude and thankfulness is such a large part of being at rest. Being at peace with the shepherd and the pastor that he's provided for us. As I go back through these points, when we become ungrateful, then we become discontent. And our soul becomes restless. And we're looking for something better. And we decide that following the shepherd is not a viable option anymore because my soul is not resting. And ultimately that is just not trusting the shepherd and what he has for us and allowing him to lead us and to work in our lives. Are we grateful this morning for what God has given us, whatever that is, wherever we find ourselves? We could make a long list of things that we're grateful for here this morning, but just the privilege to be able to get together with friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. What a tremendous privilege that so many in the world just would love to be able to do this. And I think when we don't have something for a while, we appreciate it more. And I was looking forward to this morning tremendously. Are we grateful for the things that we have? In verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David ends his psalm on a picture of hope. He's looking forward to something. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Confidence in the shepherd. He trusts the shepherd, and he's confident that the shepherd will continue to lead him. Believing that the shepherd has my good front and center in his life. In his plan, he's working it out for my good. Sometimes we feel like we need to perform to a certain standard or something so that God will pour out his blessing on us. And sure, we need to obey, but I don't believe that's how God views us. God wants us, God loves us. God wants us to follow him, and he wants to bless us if we're obedient to him. He has our best in mind. He wants to pour out his blessing on us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I like the confidence that David has there in the shepherd and what he will pour into his life. And then the last phrase yet, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Following the shepherd is not just a collection of experiences that will just end at the valley of death. But we're following a shepherd to a destination. We're not just filling in time here. We're going somewhere. We're going to dwell with God forever. And I think that should encourage us and inspire us to keep on. We're going somewhere. We have a destination in mind, and the shepherd is leading us there, and he's providing for us along the way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I hope these verses could be an encouragement to you this morning. They were to me as I studied them and read them. Inspire us to keep going forward. We don't know the path ahead, especially with all the changes that will be in society probably. But we know the shepherd. We know the one leading us. And we can have rest and confidence in that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why don't we kneel for prayer?